hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being now weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, be with us tonight. Father, help us to never doubt your goodness nor your providence. Father, there's a great many things in this world that offers to steal our peace away. Things, Father, that would unsettle us. Things that would make us uncomfortable. But Lord, we find solid ground in your promises. Lord, we find in you one worth trusting. The only one, Father, I know that has never failed. One who has never abandoned his promises. Lord, help us to rest solely in you. You are our rock. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God does not miss. We do. We try to build things. We make plans. We form ideas. And we even make promises. And we're not always good at keeping those promises. Sometimes because things are out of our control. Sometimes because we just simply fail to do so. God has never found himself in either one of those situations where he has something out of his control, nor that he would decide to go against his very nature to break that promise. God does not make idle promises either. When he tells you he is going to take care of you, when he tells you he will never leave you nor forsake you, you could take that to the bank. He doesn't make idle promises. The promises he makes them in order. He makes them intending to keep them. He makes them with the full ability to keep them. When we look back at the story of Abraham, it is an impossible story, isn't it? The Bible is filled with things that are impossible. Why? Because that's how God speaks to us. If we were to sit there and see things from, see people live through God's word, and we didn't see quite the miracles, we could chalk it up to almost anything out there. We might even worship the man. How many times was it when the disciples would perform a miracle and people would come to worship him and they said, whoa, not me, it's God. That's how God got people's attention. Because I tell you what, no matter how many of these faith healers, these Benny Hinn's out there, are out there healing people with their arms that don't match the same length, right? We know that those are fake. But when somebody who has never walked could get up without physical therapy, could get up without muscle growth or anything like this, boom, it's all there already. And the pathways have grown in the mind. God did the whole work so they could just get up and not just walk, but pick up their beds and walk away with them. Then you'd sit there and say, this is no hoax. This is no game. They didn't bring a crippled man in. We passed this guy. We give this guy food. We celebrate his birthday. We had him over for dinner. We make sure he has what he needs. And he's walking. We know his history. We know his family. And he's walking. Many of us, we've experienced the same thing through salvation. It's as though some mighty miracle has been done in who we were. That is no longer, you sit there, well, I used to do this and I used to do that. And now you look at yourself and you're a million miles away from that. And somebody could look at you and say, well, I know them and I know their family. And I know where they came from. And we used to hang out together. We used to run around together and do this and do that. And we can sit there and we say, yes, yes, that is where I was. But by some great miracle of God, I've been changed. What's your secret? What'd you do different? What step program did you do? What did you? Oh no, it was God. God saved your soul. He did not miss. He knew exactly what you needed. Gave it to you. His time, according to his will. God does not fail. as we look at Abraham here again, this impossibility. How could a man at 100 years old, could you imagine being 100 years old and having a child? Now, again, not just having a child, but what did Abraham then have to do once he got the child of promise? He had to raise the thing. Now, that is a long-term commitment, my friends. I'm sitting here at this age going, all right, we can work this out. I plan ahead. I plan on kicking them all out at 18 years old, and but to do some math and carry the one, and I'll be old enough to still, I'll be young enough still to be able to relax and live life. Hopefully, the Lord keeps my health to me and all these great things, right? Of course, that's the plan. You know, that's the plan. Who knows? Who knows? His body, circumstances, situations. I used to tease Brother Hugin all the time. They were in their 40s when they had Abby. And I teased him once. I didn't tease him again because I felt as though I stepped too far. I said, you know, by the time she's getting out of your home, you'll be going into one. Because he sat there. He said how old he would be when she turned 20. And I go, every now and then when you get this thought in your head and you go, maybe I shouldn't say it, go with that thought. Don't say it. But he had to raise a child. He had to raise this child. And yes, we read this. The Bible is not denying, this passage of Scripture is not denying that Abraham failed, that Abraham and Sarah took a shortcut. But he did believe that child was coming. He never wavered on the thought that the child was coming. Even when it came down to sacrificing the child, he didn't surrender that idea. Hey, God's going to work it out somehow. He didn't waver. He didn't stagger to it. But I'll tell you what, a lot of Christians today, they hear God's promises and they stagger. Could a soul be saved today? Well, yeah. Could we have a Baptist revival? Yeah, we could. Oh, that's a lot to, brother, I don't know. We could. Because it ain't up to you, it ain't up to me, it ain't up to the times. It's up to what God wants to do. And if he wants to set America on fire one more time before the end, he could do it. If he wants to set the whole world on fire for Christ again, he could do it. We have no right to sit there and question God's providence. So many Christians, they see numbers leaving churches and they go, oh no. Almost as though we believe God has lost his power. God no longer saves. I told some of the young preachers that have been going around, I'm just so encouraged to see you guys. I'm so encouraged to see the Lord saving young people, not calling them to preach. What a wonderful thing. I think of a handful that have been called thus far, called into good churches with good pastors who are teaching and training them well. I'll sit there, I'll go out, I'll listen to their sermons. They're doing well. I'm encouraged by that. But even if I didn't see it, I can't look at God and say, Lord, you've lost your touch. I can't sit there and pray one more time for someone I've always prayed to be saved and go, well, Lord, that's it. If you ain't done it by now, clearly you ain't gonna. I don't get that right. Why? Because who knows what God's going to do? His thoughts, not my thoughts. I can't reach them. The things that I want, I don't even see straight all the time to what I think I should have. God knows. We must be as brave. We must be as believing. Or else we will fall into what so many Christians are now. Despondent, broken, fearful, doubtful. We forget God's providence and we lack the assurance that we should have. Now listen, somebody tells you that they're going to come by tomorrow and they're going to do this or that for you. It is perfectly acceptable for you to sit there and say, well, Lord willing, who knows what will happen. But when God tells you that he will do something, that's what's going to happen. The rain could happen, a car tire could pop, somebody could need to travel on an emergency thing. Who knows? But when God says it, we know it to be true. We have that assurance. And aren't you glad you got a book full of things that God has promised you? A God that has not failed to keep those promises. Even the fact that he promised to be with us. And then he says, take no thought for tomorrow. what you'll eat or what you drink. We don't have to worry about these things. God takes care of you. I remember when we first got married, losing that job. There was somebody in the church came by and said, "Hey, Matt, listen, we just fired this guy. You're overqualified for the position. Would you like to come in?" Was it, you know, CEO of a multi-million dollar company? No, it was scrubbing floors. And I did it for cash. I did it, man. You gonna give me a paycheck? I'll do it. Signed up, I went. And guess what? It was every bit as miserable as I thought it was. But those bills got paid. People treated me like dirt. Why? Because I was scrubbing a floor. But those bills got paid. You know what I mean? I got what I needed out of that thing. I got what I needed. And from there, God opens up more opportunities. And hey, here's a little bit more. Here's some more responsibility. Here's a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that. And finally, you're getting to where God wants you to be in submission. And you ain't got to worry about anything, because all the while you're obeying God, He's providing for those things. Even in the terrible things that we go through, even in the hard things we go through, we can see God's hand moving through the situation. And we see people get perplexed by our situation. "It was easier than I thought. Hey, you healed through this a lot faster than I expected. Hey, that's not the way this normally goes." That is riddled through our circumstances. Why? Because there is God's hand making it possible. God is good to us. We have all the assurance we need. Now, does He need to show us these things for us to have faith? No. As a matter of fact, we're more blessed those that believe and have not seen. But I just love the way that God can't keep to the shadows sometimes. Sometimes you see exactly what He's doing. It's like my favorite phrase: coincidence is God's way of just staying anonymous. Well, isn't that funny how just as we got to doing this, there it was. Hey, isn't that just funny that we're here at this right time, and here's another person with the solution to the problem right here at the right time? Or maybe you've been on the other side. You're sitting there going, "Well, what are we going to do with this?" We had this happen. It's a small thing. Please forgive me, but it's a small thing. We've been looking at that yard and raking the yard and backpack leaf blowing the yard, and that's all good and fine. Young back, need some exercise. That's all good and fine. Danielle was talking to her father about how many bags we set out to the road, and it hit him that he had just had a conversation with his mom about how she had purchased a yard sweeper that she didn't like. She had a hard time moving around, didn't like how it worked, was just too bulky for her. And she was looking to get rid of it. She was looking to give it away. I didn't necessarily need it. But I'm going to tell you this, I had a whole lot of fun with it. He came out with the truck, he dropped it off, we put it together, and I love those moments where I'm figuring things out. I love working with my father-in-law. I'll learn more in an afternoon working with my father-in-law than I will sitting in front of a book any day. You just glean stuff off of him. And we're putting it together, and we're fastening it to this, and just as we're sitting there doing a thing, here comes the thing. You following me? Little, stupid. It's silly, isn't it? It's a lawn toy. But how many of you have sat there, like I have, in your bad times, and here comes the solution out of nowhere? And you got people all around you going, "Well, that don't normally happen." I know. That's what God does. Abraham's sitting there, Sarah's sitting there talking to their friends. God says, "We're going to have a baby. You want to tell her or should I tell her?" You're in your 90s, you ain't having a baby. "Oh no, God said we're going to have a baby." Okay. I want you to imagine that baby shower. You know? I want you to imagine that one. Are we going to Abraham and Sarah's house? Why would we go to Abraham and Sarah's house? What's going on over there? Well, they had the baby. The what? They stole a baby? No, they had a baby. Sarah looking a little puffy to you there? No, she's pregnant. Come on, stop it. There's a thing as being too much polite. She put some weight on, right? No, she put a baby on is what's going on there. It would have astounded them. But nonetheless, you go over to Abraham and Sarah's house, and there they are with the baby. Well, what do? Did they get another concubine? Did they get another lady servant? What do? No, Sarah had it. Now, come on. But there was, that doesn't normally happen. How many times have we seen cancer treatments go better than they should? How many times have we seen cancers disappear? How many times have we seen people who should have died but did not? How many times? And yet we still sit there fearful, doubtful. Well, maybe this is a bridge too far for God. 100 years old having a baby. And that's too hard. How many people were able to walk, ain't never walked before? How many people were able to see, had never seen before? What about the times where people had died, the Lord brought them back? How many times has the Lord done incredible things in our lives, in Scripture, and yet we still sit here with no peace in our situations? We still sit here with doubts. He didn't consider His weaknesses. And I'll tell you what, so many Christians, that's exactly what we do. When we're into a situation or God has made a promise, we consider our situation. Well, that's all well and good for them, but you don't understand how difficult it would be in my situation for God to bless. It ain't hard for Him at all. It ain't nothing for Him at all. Abraham's body did not stop God. Just like yours won't necessarily stop you. Now, again, addendum, because you're hardworking people. That don't mean get on the roof. All right? If your body's got limitations, your body's got limitations. All right? We've got people that can go to handle the big, difficult stuff. My point is this. You can still be a witness no matter what. You can still rely on God to heal you no matter what. You can still rely on God to bring peace to your situation no matter what. We sit there, we consider our situation. Well, you got to understand, no, God goes beyond all understanding. He was beyond conceiving. He was beyond childbearing. At 100 years old, you don't even babysit, let alone have a child. Most people I know who are at 100 need care. They don't give care. But there was Abraham. Physical weaknesses do not matter to God. Well, we don't have the resources. I don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have this. I don't have that. Don't put that on God. There's nothing He can't do. We can sit there. We can look at His family. He was too old. Sarah was too old. How is out of me supposed to be this great lineage? This great dynasty of people coming out of me. How is that supposed to happen? I don't have any kids. I'm going to give you a kid. Okay. How am I supposed to not be in pain? How am I supposed to deal with this relative? How am I supposed to deal with this situation? Don't you understand? My surroundings are all messed up. God don't care nothing for your surroundings. That don't stop Him. All of a sudden, we believe that God has too many limits, where God has no limits whatsoever. Well, we always think that we're the kryptonite, right? We're the kryptonite. We stop Him. Your weaknesses, your situation, doesn't mean anything. We look at Gideon, not that Gideon, Gideon in the Bible. He was surrounded by pagan idolatry. Surrounded. His father was involved in it. And God used him. Again, looking at our illustration here, Sarah could not help in this endeavor of raising a whole lineage, of having a child that would go on to birth a nation. She was incapable of doing so. Abraham could sit there and say, my seed would never go much far, couldn't go very far. Now with Sarah, that didn't matter to God. You don't have a kid, here you go. Your wife can't bear one, I'll make sure it happens anyway. Well, yeah. This day and age, my family, my spouse, my kids, my job, my this, my that. Don't blame the surroundings you are in, because God can make it happen in any situation. You just need to trust and obey. Now again, you have to modify your expectations to His will. I promise you it's better than what you want. I promise you it's better than what you'll get on your own. Right? Modify your will to, modify your wants to God's will. And trust me, there's no situation He's not going to work in. He's going to work it out to what? For good. His notion of what is good. Your background, your surroundings, the people in your life, they are no obstacle to God. What about the odds? People talk like that, don't they? What are the odds? What are the chances? Wish me luck. Good luck today on your this. Good luck today on your that. You know, luck don't do anything. Luck don't do anything. How many people have relied on luck, didn't do a thing for them? Lucky charms and behaviors and patterns, things. You think of like the little rituals that baseball players and sport players do, right? Every time I wear these socks, I win. So the last time I won, I haven't washed the socks, but I've worn them the same. Well, here's the problem. You have your socks, but on the other side team, this guy's been wearing the same undershirt for all of these games. And they've won him every game so far. So your socks versus his shirt, let's see who wins. It's a joke. Now, I'm going to ask you this question too. Anybody here, you ever snap open a fortune cookie, you read the thing on the inside and it actually came true? I've never seen it. I always think it's funny on the back. Your lucky numbers are. Why are there so many? And if they're so lucky, how come they didn't do anything? You know? They daydream this stuff. They make this stuff up. You ever snap the wishbone on a turkey? You ever get the thing you wished for? No. You can wish on 100 stars. You can sit there and do everything that would pertain to good luck. You could find a four-leaf clover. You could find a whole field of four-leaf clovers, and they'll do nothing for you. We hope for chance. Well, what are the odds? What are the odds? God don't do odds. As a matter of fact, God likes to operate outside of them just to remind us who He is. You see these little pedestrian things you're doing there? I don't do that. Right? We think about Jesus as He was tempted by the devil. Turn this into bread. I don't have to do that. Jump off of this. I ain't got to do that. Prove this. Prove that. I don't have to do that. Then He would turn around and He would do this miracle, do that miracle. Yeah, anybody here on a nice hot day? I have to specify hot day because this is Michigan. You could do it in the winter. Anybody here, you ever walk on water? I never walked on water. You ever try, this is bad, you ever try those wakeboards where you like you paddle, you stand up on a surfboard, you paddle? Disastrous. You'll never catch me on another one of those things again. And He could do it without the board. He could do it without the paddle. What are the odds of that? I got a calculator on the desk. You want to borrow it, you go ahead. But you ain't going to find it because it don't happen. God does the impossible. He does the things that we couldn't even imagine having happened. Right? Those men, they came through. Their buddy on a bed. Each one on a corner bringing them in. Now, here's the thing. I know that they probably thought about it, but they came up. How are we going to get them in? I'm sure they thought about taking the roof apart. But anybody here kind of think like I do, that maybe the Holy Spirit might have wiggled in their ear a little bit? Take the roof off. They took the roof off. Anybody here, you just get the idea, hey, I can't get into the restaurant. Look at this line. I'm going to take the roof off. That's what I will take the roof off. We'll lower him down. They took the roof off. They lowered him down. Jesus healed him right there. We can't heal him. Look at the crowd. We can't heal him. Look how long it would take to get in. There'll be no time. We'll be here for the next week to get him into this mess. And yet he still walked home. God don't do numbers. He don't do statistics. He does what he wants. Right? He does what he wants. We can trust in him. We can rely on him. What are the chances of revival in our nation? The chances don't matter. God will do what he will do. It is ours to obey. What are the chances of seeing souls saved in our lives, in our families, in our community? It doesn't matter what the chances are. God will do what he wants to do. Well, this day and age, it's very hard. It still is nothing to God. Nothing to him. To you and me, impossible. To you and me, difficult. To you and me, we couldn't even think about getting it done. But to God, it's just a thing. Just a thing. His strength made perfect in our weakness. What is impossible with man, so very easy with God. There is no such thing as luck or fate, only the strong will of God. And that is who we serve. You get impatient, you get frustrated, you get fearful, you get filled with doubt. Let me tell you this. You got to remember who runs things. You got to remember who controls things. I am not an evolutionist. I don't believe that things around me are happening by random happenstance. I believe that what we see around us is being moved and shaped by God. And there's no situation I'm going to find myself in. He's not going to be right there. So in everything I do, I honor him. Everything I do, I got to glory him. I got to obey him in everything I do. Because that is the only way to get ourselves through these situations. Because he's going to move through it like water, like air. If we want to get through it, we must be close to him. We must be close, kneeling and relying on him. What is it that is said, verse 19? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. Now when he's talking about dead, obviously Abraham wasn't dead. He was talking about his ability to produce a child. His body was spent. There was nothing more he could do in the child-rearing area, right? He didn't consider his own body when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Staggering has a brand new meaning here. Well, I say brand new. It's been around for a couple years in the English language. This. But what do we also mean by stagger? To sort or space out, right? Hey, when you put those out, stagger them out a little bit. It also means to contend, to sort, to add value or take value away from. So when we're looking at this, we're using the other word for stagger. Don't sit there and try to pick through. Don't sit there and try to sort out what promises you think are good, what God says could or could not happen. Don't play with it. Now, for those of you that like the other definition, it still fits. He didn't stagger. Look how big that is. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to... He walked right up to it. Again, did they make a mistake? Yes, they did. But according to this passage of Scripture, in his mind, he knew that child of promise was coming. He didn't stagger. So how many of us do that? God's going to do this, and God's going to do that, and God's going to do this. Okay, well, according to, I believe that God can do that for so-and-so, and God can do that for so-and-so, and maybe he might do this for me. Don't do that. What God says he will do. Rely on him. Don't sit there afraid. Don't sit there doubtful. Again, if this world was run by random happenstance, we should all be terrified. If this world was run by Democrat or Republican, we should be losing sleep. We serve a living, sovereign God who fills your life with blessings and care. What worry do we have? Now, I say that, you know, we all get there, don't we? It's sin, but we get there. Well, that's taking longer than I thought it would. I'm getting nervous. And all of a sudden, nervous begins to visit you more often than it should. Well, the doctor ain't called yet. Well, so-and-so didn't check in. You know, I told her to call when she got there, and it's been X amount of time they ain't called back. I wonder if my kid got there okay. And that nervousness visits and visits and visits. And before you know it, set up shop under the name of worry. What worry should we have? It is the Lord's. And there are things in our lives, please listen to me, there are things in our lives we worry about that we have zero control over. Zero control over. I've heard people, they worry about their own deaths. They worry about it. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Can you give more thought to it and prolong it? Could you change it? Will you live forever? What is there to worry about? And for the child of God, there's nothing on the other side of that door I got to be concerned about. It is settled. And again, if heaven was something that I could do for myself, if heaven was something that I could win, I should be worried. But Jesus Christ settled that for me. Amen. I have no need for worry. Oh, but what happens tomorrow when, what happens tomorrow is what God's going to do. You obey Him today. You plan to obey Him tomorrow. You let Him worry about the events. You just show up with your tools on. You just show up with a heart that is surrendered to Him. You show up with your armor on from Ephesians 6. You show up. But what are you going to be able to do to stop or to change or to do anything outside of your power? Oh, what are these nations going to do? I don't know. Write a letter. See if they answer you. Might as well, for all the worry we do, pick up your phone, write a tweet. Is it called tweeting anymore? I don't know. Put something on your social media. Oh, look how terrible it is. Let's see if that fixes it. There's things out of your control won't ever be in your control. But there's a ton of things that are in your control that you should be paying attention to. My obedience to God being number one. My heart and closeness to Him. Those things are things I can control. My response to the things that happen, those things are within my control. But I tell you what, tomorrow you get sick, there ain't nothing you're going to be able to do about it but go to Him anyway. That's what you'll do. You'll go to Him as you have before, and He, being the good Father He is, will listen to you. And will already be working out how it will end, one way or the other. We can have faith in Him. We can rely on Him. We don't have to stagger. We don't have to fight it. We don't have to balk at it. We don't have to be intimidated at the things that happen in our lives. Why? Because God's not intimidated by those things. He's not nervous about those things. They are all according to His plan. And is it okay if it bothers you a little bit? There's going to be moments where you're scared. Right? That fire sure seemed hot for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those lions seemed awful hungry to Daniel. When they put Jeremiah in the pit, I'm sure that pit was not very luxurious. We'll all have moments of extreme discomfort, of extreme troubles and trials. But never forget that God has already made that plan. And He's going to work it through for you, one way or the other. One way or the other. And the more we suffer here, the sweeter I believe heaven to be. You got persecution, got people angry at you, got people saying this or that. Hey, there's crowns for some behaviors that we ought to be doing here on earth. I would much rather be the one to walk through who stayed faithful through all the trials than be the person who doubted and panicked over every little thing. There was this guy, he got himself on the news, he ran a... He was at a, I don't know if it was a theme park or a carnival, but it was one of those rides where they get the people up real high. And he got himself into a little bit of trouble because he thought it would be funny, and he did this to several people. He thought it would be funny to go, "Oh, I forgot your shoulder harnesses." So the people would be in there, they'd be all buckled in, and he'd say, "I forgot your shoulder harnesses." And as he would go to step closer to him, he would hit the button that would send him down. There were no shoulder harnesses. So they'd be up here trying, and down they would go. You know? And you just think about that, being in that position, being the person being pranked like that. We find ourselves in moments where our stomach is in our throats. We're terrified. Is this it? Only God knows. So that means the only one place you could be is right at His side. That's who I'd want to go to. That's who I'd want that information from. Doctor says something, take it to the Lord. Family says something, take it to the Lord. You get a phone call that makes you upset, take it to the Lord. He already knows how this is going to go. You need to be at His side. You need to be close to Him. Don't give in to the doubt. Don't give in to the fear. Abraham didn't balk. He didn't stagger. Why? Because he believed God. There is a large gap between people who believe in God and people who believe God. Why do we have so many different religions? Why do people walk away with this doctrine or that doctrine? Why? Because there's a large gap between believing in God and believing God. And that's a question we've got to ask ourselves on a regular basis. Do I just believe in God, or do I actually believe what He says to me? Do I believe this doctrine? Do I believe this thing He's told me to do? Do I believe what it is that He said that I should do in this? Abraham did. And look at what happened. Look at what happened. You know how many men had just as much belonging as Abraham did? That was not a rare thing. Sure, he was rich, but there was a lot of other men. Can you name any of the other men who had just as many cattle as Abraham did? Or just as many livestock as Abraham did that lived at the same time? You can't. We may be able to say Lot, just depending on how it goes, but we don't know anybody else like that. Why do we remember Abraham? Because Abraham was a part of God's plan. Abraham was Abraham obeyed. Abraham had faith. God chooses His people, but He doesn't abandon them after He chooses them. He loves them. He cares for them. He makes sure that what He commanded them to do is possible. It is why I believe that as long as there is a church here, there will be someone, there'll be an elect someone in the area for us to find. I firmly believe that. How many? I don't know. But if we're here for something. We're here to do something. I do not doubt that God is still working. I do not doubt that God can still do wonderful things. Though I will serve Him where I am, though. Well, sure is a bummer. I know a lot of folks, they get down. Sure is a bummer. We don't have the numbers this. We don't have the numbers that. If God wanted you to have numbers, guess what you'd have? Numbers. If God wanted you to have an enormous building, guess what you'd have? That's what you'd have. You have what God has given you. We as a church have what God has given us. And my friends, what God has given us is abundance. We have abundance. We need not get discouraged or upset. We'll sit there. Well, we wish we had more people in the 20 to 40 year old crowd. They ain't there yet. We're still growing them. You know how many people, we'll sit there. Oh, with the 20 to 40 year old crowd. You know how many people sit there and look at our kids and go, wow, we miss that sound. I hear it every time we have a conference. Almost every conference. You got a good number of kids running around here. Those are coming from churches that are dead silent. Churches where babies aren't drug out. You know, they miss that. We say, oh, 20s and 30s. I look over at Traverse City. All those 20 to 30-year-olds, 20 to 40-year-olds, 20 to... Well, you guys got... I mean, there they are. And then I remember that I tucked most of them in bed at night at camp, and I begin to feel old. All right, now go to bed. I got to go to the bathroom. All right, here you go. One of them's getting married. I remember his mom, Barb Plamondon, coming up to me. This is my son. He's energetic. And energetic is code for you're going to have a long week. These kids, man, they'd have the stuffed pig. Him and his brother had the stuffed pig. Timmy and Josh, man, had the stuffed pig, whipped the stuffed pig across the cabin at night. So you'd be sitting there, all right, good night, kids, good night, everybody in bed, everybody good, shut the light off. I hear this thing go sailing through the air, just whoosh, smack, smack up against the back wall. Because what they were doing is they were throwing it among the top bunks, as kids do. And your job, as a counselor, was to let them have fun, but not too much to where I would get in trouble for it. So I'd hear the pig go back from, but it was when it got whipped and hit the wall, I'd have to go in there and get it. And then me and the other counselor would go in there, and every now and then we'd sneak in there, try to catch the pig before they knew we were in there. That kid's getting married. It's amazing. But that is something God gave that church. And you are something God gave this church. And they are something God gave this church. And we might not be in the part of the timeline we want to be, but we're in the timeline we ought to be. And that's good. That's fantastic. What will the future of Home Missionary Baptist Church be? I don't know. But here I am. Trying to find ways to obey the Lord. Lord, what would you have us to do? What ought we to do? What should I preach? They're all in His hands. Which means I ain't got to worry about wiggling it or finagling what I preach. I ain't got to mess with anything. Why? Because it is in His hands. I take care of what's in my hands, which is this and this and this. He takes care of everything else. He's given me the Word to study. He's given me people around to be an encouragement. We have the things we need to control the things we can. Don't worry about the things you can't, because God's got both. I heard somebody say, well, you handle you and God handles God, and between the two of you, I couldn't handle me if God weren't already handling me. I couldn't do it on my own. He's got me as well as He's got tomorrow. Abraham lived his belief. He lived his belief. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Why? Because that's the only way it's getting done, folks. That's the only way. Will there be a soul saved in the next year? Only the Lord knows. Will we have additions to us here or there? Will any of the things that we've got planned, will they ever come to fruition? I don't know! But God's already there and He knows. We're going to give glory to Him. And if it does take place, we'll glory for it. We'll glory Him in it, because that could not have taken place without Him. You know how many places on earth you can't have church services? And look at us. Look at us, repainting the steeple up there so everybody can see we're still there. I think about that every now and then. When we redid the fellowship hall, or when we do the steeple and we're doing stuff, everybody passing by saw that lift. I guess they're still doing stuff over there. I thought they would have been done a long time ago, knocked the building down, extended the golf course out a little bit, you know, add another couple holes. No, we're still here. We're still serving. Glory be to God for that. And we need to give the glory to Him. And again, that takes away our anxiety. It takes away our fear. Why? Because it is not in my hands. Mine is to obey. Everything else is in His. I just work as hard as I can. At least we should be. As a church, we should be working as hard as we can to obey Him. Abraham knew his God. And bless him, he acted like it. He acted like he believed his God. He was fully persuaded. God will keep His promises. I will have that child. He believed that God was able to perform. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that He had promised, He was able also to perform. That what God promises us He'll do, He's able to do. That's it. Again, God does not throw the idle promise. He does not say, hey, let's hope for the best. God's will out. It's the way it's going to work. Knowing that what He promised, he will do. What are we going to do if this happens, if that happens, if we go to war? What happens here? We're going to do what happens when every nation goes, what every Christian does when their nation goes to war. We're going to do that. We're going to keep serving them. What if it becomes illegal? We're going to do what every Christian has ever done when it's been illegal to be a Christian. We're going to be a Christian. We'll be looking over at some of those Chinese Baptists going, hey, how'd you guys do it? Well, you need to get ready to spend 8 years in prison is what you need to do. There was somebody giving an interview. There was a magazine, the Martyr, Voice of the Martyrs. And the guy who was doing the interview asked them, how many of you have been to jail? And almost every single last one of them had been to jail one time or another because they attended church services. Wouldn't that be a weird thing, huh? Wouldn't that be weird? It might not start off that way. It might start something as, unless you guys have, you know, a sodomite representation, we're going to fine you. I hope tithes are still doing good at that time. Because we are guilty. No prosecuting attorney is going to have to work hard to condemn this church for standing on biblical truth. We make it easy for them. We put them on the internet. They don't even have to subpoena our records. We put it out there for them. And my goodness, Brother Mark actually transcribes some of the things that we've done here, so they're going to have it in writing too. No one's going to have to work to convict us. We give them the case. Abraham was fully persuaded God was going to keep his promises, and guess what? So should we. Not that we would never have hard times, not that life would be easy, but the actual promises he made. He would be there with us. He would fight for us. He would preserve us. The gates of hell would not prevail against us. We will fight. We will maintain doctrine. We will obey him and the duties he has given this church and obeying the Great Commission. Alongside the Great Commission was what promise? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That was his promise. Do the work, but I'm right there with you. We were getting that leaf sweeper all packaged up, and we're trying to guess the thing. So I put Xander up on the tractor, and Papa's eyes went, oh no, he knows what he's doing. Dad's right here. He knows what he's doing. Don't worry about it. Got everything dialed in. All right, Xander, go this far with it. Okay, good. Let's adjust that. Okay, Xander, go that far with it. I'm right there. Papa's right there. God ain't going to give you a job and not be right there. God's not going to let trials come into your life and not be right there. What worry do we have? What anxiety do we have? It is when we, like Peter, take our eyes off of him, then the panic happens. Then the doubt comes in. Because all we're looking at is the waves and the crashing sound around us and the fact that this is a completely unnatural thing for a human being to do. This doesn't normally work out! Yeah, but Jesus is here. Well, this is normally a death sentence. Being out in the middle of the ocean or out in the middle of the sea when that's going on. I mean, these waves, this is a death sentence. Yeah, but Jesus is here. We don't know what'll happen. And even if Peter were to have drowned that night, God wouldn't have let him do it because he told him to come out. But even if he did, he would have gone from the Son to the Father. But no, Jesus said what? Come. Which implied to Peter that he could what? He could walk out on that water. Here's the Great Commission. Here's this promise that if you pray to me, I'll give to you. Here's this promise that I'll work all together for good. Which means what? Exactly what he said. Come. Implies you'll be able to walk out on that water. But don't you dare stare at the waves like you've got to tackle them. Don't you look down at the water pretending it's you walking on it. Don't sit there and every time God blesses your situation, go, well, I lucked out. Don't be blasphemous. You give the Lord his honor. You give him his due. You praise him for those things. Because it ain't you. It ain't your power. It ain't your buoyancy keeping you above the water. It is the Lord. And I like this verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's pretty nice, isn't it? It wasn't just imputed, it was just written for him, it wasn't just given to him. This isn't just something special to Abraham. That's how God loves his kids. And in proof, Jesus died for you. You need no better proof that he's involved in your life and what's going on and your worries and your cares and your struggles and what's going to happen tomorrow and what the kids are going to do, what the grandkids are going to do, what is the car going to do, what is the house going to do, what is the tornado going to do, what is Putin going to do. Stop it! Those things are not in your control. They are in the hands of the Master. It is your heart, your mind, your actions you control. And you must control them. Everything. Everything else falls into his hands. And we wait for the answers, the blessings, the providence, the resources. He gives them out. Now here's the thing with us, we're a little bit stubborn. We're a little bit thick. So sometimes he's only going to give us things at the right time so we don't go do something silly. Sometimes we have to wait because we'll run off with the thing. We'll start doing our own thing like, oh, I don't know, grabbing the handmaid and having a child with her. So when we say, well, he hasn't answered yet, he hasn't answered yet. Just wait. He's doing something. You keep being faithful. You keep bringing it to him. You keep being faithful. It's going to be yes, no, or wait. And you better believe that whatever one of those three is, it's the best thing you could have gotten out of it. We give it to him. Because he's already got it. And I almost say, it's almost difficult to say give those worries and cares to him. It's biblical language, but it to me, it's kind of weird because how do I give something to somebody that's already in his hands? It's almost like I'm simply saying, stop trying to grab it out of his hands. Stop trying to fix it for yourself. Obey him. Do things his way. But give him the things you can't control. You'll drive yourself nuts. The most miserable people on earth are people trying to fix something they can't fix. And you know I'm right. Prevent things you can't prevent. Worry about things you couldn't do a thing for. They're the most miserable people on earth. And when we try to do that, ain't it difficult? Ain't it hard? Let us rely on the Lord. And then we will never be like those folks that are given to worry. That have fallen apart. What is tomorrow? What is this? What is that? Rely on him. So, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you in all things. And Father, we're grateful that you are there for all things. Though, Lord, I could honestly say there are many people who would sit here and say that we have prayers you have not answered yet. We know, Father, that even in telling us to wait or in telling us no, your wisdom is one. Your wisdom is what we need. Your discretion, your ideas, your plans, your will is far better than anything we could even dream of. Help us, Lord, to be submissive. Help us, Lord, to be reliant. Lord, please help us to be faithful. And Lord, not doubt, not fear. You, my Father, have never failed us. Even in our darkest of hours, you've left light along the way. Help us, Lord, never to doubt. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Page 350.